Hello.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Sup.
What?
Sup.
You saying sup?
Maybe you can't understand me because I'm using my California accent.
Oh, goodness. Who is this character that has arrived on the scene?
Oh, what's up?
California Linda?
That's a little moped going by just in San Francisco right now, you know? Just straight chilling, bro.
Ride it on your longboard. Other jokes about Californian people. I wonder if people, savvy listeners, would be able to identify the city you were in based on the ambient noise in the background.
Ooh, that'd be creepy.
It would be kind of weird.
I just walked by the biggest succulent I've ever seen.
That's a dead giveaway. Well, I guess no. Yep. I mean, Brooklyn's full of those too these days.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, man, there's a big old think piece that I'm about to walk past on the sidewalk.
You're going
to
walk past a physical think piece.
I think someone's making a statement, Andy.
Okay, well, tell me about it.
It says, it's a big piece of plywood, and it says, looks like there's something on the other side of the plywood, but on the front that I'm facing, it says, nothing really mattress.
And it's on a piece of plywood.
Right. So maybe there's a mattress on the other side of that. I really hope there is, because if not, it's like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, I'm a little lost. I'm going to need the artist statement, I think, to really paint a full picture of this.
Like, I get the play on words, but it's just on plywood. Who knows? Hi.
No, yeah. Oh, hey. Oh, let's start the show. Woo. It was fun to get to go to art museums with you, art museum singular.
And, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you can tell a lot about a person, especially a creative person or a person that likes to think of themselves as creative, by walking around a museum with them.
I agree. Sorry, I just want to update you. There was indeed a mattress.
Oh, good.
And on the other side of the plywood was a porta potty.
Wow, so you couldn't see the porta potty at all? It was completely concealed by this plywood?
Right, it was like a big house for the porta potty, turns out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hope you're not intruding on anything.
I hope so, too.
How's living in San Francisco and staying in Jack Dorsey's house?
It's really great. It's super wonderful. Let's get back to that. First, let's talk about how last weekend we were wandering around the Whitney.
Recap time.
And I liked that you and I have a really similar way of perusing an art gallery. Like, I think that it's a risky thing to go to a museum with friends, because I could have been the type of person who's like, no, I want to sit and really absorb every piece and just want to think about its meaning and write in my sketchbook about it. But instead, you and I were both just kind of like, oh, look at this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Look at how deep they think they are.
That is...
You were talking shit about the curators.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, I feel like that's the only way I can ever experience an art museum, right? Like, I have never been with somebody who I genuinely felt like, oh, they're getting something out of this slow, meticulous experience of the work. I've always felt it was, like, performative. Like, they wanted to seem more invested and more smart about the art than they actually were. Because, I mean, this is something you do. I assume you did this at art school. There's a lot of museum trips with groups of young artists that you go on. And I don't know. I feel like a core belief of mine about art is that, like, it has to get my attention. I shouldn't have to, like, do a bunch of work to appreciate the thing. So, yeah, I walk around the museum. I'm like, no. Maybe that. Oh, no. And, yeah, I think that's the only fun way to do it.
Yeah. When I was in art school, our school was actually attached to the High Museum of Art. And so we had a free membership there as part of our tuition. And so we would just spend breaks between classes sitting in front of, like, famous works of art, but just, like, laying on a bench, like, talking about boys and stuff. So it was kind of fun to get, like, to get desensitized a little bit to the whole thing and to remove it from its pedestal.
Hillary has the same method of walking through a museum, but not because she went to art school and walked around enough museums with enough, like, elitist hipsters that she eventually became jaded to them, which is how I feel about it. Just because she grew up in D.C., where all the museums are free, which I think totally changes the way people interact with them, right? Like, if you pay to get in a museum, I think there's definitely this hanging feeling of you better get your, like, money's worth, you better spend a certain amount of time here or whatever. But, like, the whole Smithsonian, like, you just walk in, and if you don't like it, you turn around and immediately walk back out. And
That's a really interesting idea. Yeah.
I think that's a much better way to think about spaces, curated spaces like museums. Obviously, you know, the economic models don't support most museums being free, unfortunately. But but I think, like, if I were a curator, I would so much rather curate something for a free museum than for a paid museum for about a million reasons.
Oh, yeah. It just puts all this importance and all this pressure on the art the minute that you put a price tag on the admission. It's crazy. Yeah,
especially when it's a high price tag. Looking at you, New York.
Yeah. $25. City. Look at my ads.
$25 to see a bunch of soda cans.
A bunch of boobies.
Yeah, a bunch of boobs.
We did look at some boobs.
Yeah, it's true.
But it was so nice to see you, and I can't believe that I had no idea what restaurateurs you were.
Oh, boy. I mean, to be
fair. Fancy.
Well,
you're
fancy. Well, I mean, we ourselves are not fancy. Hillary's dad is a very nice, fancy man that generously
proxy,
takes us out places.
By proxy, you've developed very fancy taste.
Yeah, that is a byproduct of that. Which, to be clear, because I was very... This maybe is an interesting thing to unpack on air. So we were traveling to New York because Hillary, my wife, her dad likes to go to nice restaurants, retired recently, and was looking to make a restaurant trip to New York, and he wanted us as dining partners. And who are we to say no to a nice trip to New York to go to nice restaurants? So that's the reason we were there. We were eating at 11 Madison Park and Per Se, so it was fancy stuff. And you didn't know that, and then you found that out after we had already made brunch plans for Sunday together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you texted me, I think it was Sunday morning early, you were like, oh my gosh, I made this reservation and I just made it some dumb place and I'm sure it's lame. And now you guys are like fancy food people. I didn't know, maybe you want to pick a better place. And I was so...
Well, especially after I heard that Hillary was like, not that impressed by 11 Madison. I was like,
well, that's a story for another time.
I just picked whatever was available on OpenTable and looked like it might be near your place. So, yeah, I think I made that decision knowing what I know about you, which is that you like shady diner food.
It's
like
true.
Me.
And honestly, so does Hillary, perhaps more so than me. I don't think offended is the right word, but I was like kind of hurt that you
really?
Would think that we would be above whatever brunch place you pick.
Well, I think I was doing that more for Hillary than for you, obviously. Like, I've seen you enjoy many a breakfast item in a diner. And so I knew that you'd be fine with whatever I picked. But Hillary's your lady. I want to make a good impression.
You made a fabulous time. Impression, by the way, with your lovely candle gift.
Oh, she don't hate.
No, it's lovely. And the candle's been great. We put it to use already because when we came home, the dog had eaten a bunch of butter and vomited. And butter vomit does not smell good. So,
wow. How'd the dog get all that butter?
Oh, the person who was dog or house sitting for us left it out on the counter to soften, to bake with. And Sadie was like, I'll soften that butter right up.
Yum, with yum, my
yum,
butt.
Yum, yum, in my butt. Yeah. No, it didn't even get
to
the butt.
Get it, butter. Oh,
so good. So good, Linda. That's a good pun. Those improv classes
that's
paying
great.
Off. We're not fancy people. Just because every once in a while someone takes us to a nice restaurant does not mean we're fancy people.
Well, this is a point that I like to make often about meeting people, and that when you are getting to know somebody, you have such a short and tiny amount of data on them that like the tiny things that they do in the first couple of days or weeks make this huge impression on you in the beginning while you're forming this opinion about them. And so having met Hillary for one like meal or whatever the day before, all I know is like, okay.
Someone screaming like, over there? Got some screaming?
Yeah.
hope everyone's okay.
Stroller ride of her life.
Oh, good. It's a child. Thanks. That makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah. No. It's a baby.
Okay. But yeah. But anyway, back to your point. Yes.
Yes. In
Early
my data
on,
set, I now have,
the data is
like,
small.
I now have, like, a huge conversation that we had about all the fancy food that she's gotten to enjoy and how a restaurant I've always wanted to go to, she was not impressed by. So I was like, oh. I remember I was like, I ate Cheerios for dinner.
Yeah, I mean, we do that too, Linda. We're normal people.
I know, but like I said.
No, I know. I understand where you're coming from.
I don't know this.
I understand where you're coming from. I don't know. To me, it's, I think, a really important thing about developing your taste in anything, whether it's art or restaurants or whatever, is I really admire people that can develop taste in something and differentiate between very subtle variants in approach or quality or something, like, you know, really get to know something, you know, be a snob about it, but not lose their appreciation for the unrefined version of the thing, right?
Right.
Like, if you're a person that really loves movies and you're going to, like, roll your eyes about going to see a Fast and the Furious movie, like, get over yourself. Just...
Yeah, I'd be the opposite of that. I go on opening night a little drunk.
We used to do that for all the Fast and the Furious movies when we were younger. And I never really liked any of them. I kind of liked Tokyo Drift. But the point was not, you know, the quality of the film. The point was going to a movie with your friends and, you know, what sort of moving vehicle is Vin Diesel going to jump out of onto another different kind of moving vehicle. So I don't know. It's I feel like the more I try, because I value developing my taste in things, right? Like, I want to be able to discern between a great film and a okay movie, and I want to be able to discern between a really great meal and a fine meal. I think that's an interesting challenge and, you know, part of being alive. But I really tried not to lose my appreciation for. We just had frozen pizza for dinner, for example.
Oh, okay. I feel better now.
Which, frankly, is a bit of a treat for us.
Aww.
Last night we had what was left over in the house, pasta, with like wilted kale and over frozen peas that were like freezer burned. And I did like a chef's table or a, you know, salt, heat, acid, fat style description of the thing as I was cooking it. I was like, we need the most perfect ingredients. And I flopped this wilted kale down on the cutting board and like, yeah. So we're not fancy.
Well, I feel better now.
Well, I feel better too, but I don't know. I was also surprised you were nervous. I need to get over this because I'm always, I guess.
You're always surprised.
Well, I think this is like first impression thing, kind of like you pointed out. I feel like when I first met you, my initial impression was that you were so yourself and so comfortable in your own skin and so like, I don't know, so like well resolved that
confident.
Yeah, kind of confidence, like definitely confidence and charisma, but like just that you wouldn't worry about these kinds of things. And then as we talk and get to know each other more, mostly through these calls, you know, I'm hearing more and more about times when you feel nervous or you lack self-confidence. And I don't know, it's hard for me to disabuse myself of this vision of you being like just kind of floating through the world. Like, I'm Linda, I'm doing my Linda thing. If you don't like it, whatever.
I know. I think that's one of the most commonly misperceived things about me is that, yeah, that I am that way all the time. There are certain things that I'm that way about, but I'm just as neurotic and insecure as I am the other things sometimes.
There's a great first date question for all you people out there going on dates. What's the thing that is most commonly misperceived about you?
Yeah. It sucks because, like, in a work environment, I think it can come off like people assume that I'm, like, cocky or arrogant or, like, I... Because confidence, just as a woman, gets misperceived as that.
Sure.
All the time. But I don't know. I just... And it's not like I'm, like, crazy insecure. I wasn't, like, biting my nails like, oh, no, is she not going to like the thing? I think that I like to think that I'm thoughtful. So I'm like, oh... Maybe let's give this person an experience that they will enjoy a little bit more.
It was a great brunch, by the way.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, very good times. Do you think that in a friendship, it's best to be friends with somebody that sees, like, the best version of you or sees, like, the truest version of you?
Ooh.
Like,
could you...
Well, in this example we're talking about here, I have this kind of vision of you in my head as being, like, your most confident, least anxious, least, like, self-conscious self. Do you think that that contributes to the health of our friendship, or do you think that as we continue to get closer, I will know more and more about the true Linda, and that will make us closer? Like, I don't know. That's my question.
Yeah, I think the latter, for sure. I think, like, at least for me, I have no interest in holding on to this idea of Linda, or, like, making sure that you keep that in your head for as long as possible. I want people to know the real me.
Well, yeah, I guess I maybe asked that the wrong way, because I said, like, true self or real you, which is not really what I mean. Because I don't think I don't think there is an objective measure of, like, what's the true version of you as a person, or the true version of me as a person. But basically what I'm asking is, like, when there's a delta, should there be a delta between how you think of yourself and how your, like, closest friends think of you? And I'm also asking transparently because I have some very close friends who think much less of themselves than I think of them. And I've often wondered if that's a, like, pillar of our relationship, is that I see them as better people than they see themselves, frankly. I mean, it's kind of sad, but yeah, I have friends that struggle with self-image issues and stuff. And I've often wondered, like, would I be a better friend if I was able to see them the way they see them, or is it better that I see them as this elevated, you know, version of themselves? Or
I feel like that's a self-esteem issue. So I think we all have, like, an inner critic and that imposter syndrome, that idea that we're not enough and we're not good enough. And I do think that friendship is there to correct that voice, to say, like, stop spiraling. You're wonderful. Could you remember that for a minute? Like, oh yeah, I am kind of wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks, people that choose to share physical space and time with me.
Yeah, but I don't want friends who are like, you're right. You are a slob. You do kind of suck sometimes. You're like, oh, well, it confirms what I already thought I knew, so there is that.
Do you have any friends that you have that kind of, like, tough love, real talk relationship with?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually just thinking about this today. Oh my god, you read my mind. There's a friend that I've had since I was in high school, and he lives in my neighborhood now. He has a key to my apartment, and he pops in sometimes. And
we'll call him Kramer, just as a, you know, fill-in for the real name.
Imagine Kramer if Kramer was, like, the most handsome person you've ever met in
so,
your life.
So, Kramer.
Duh. Clearly. I feel like Kramer handsome is just like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that's true.
If you could, like, anamorph him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so this friend, I was just thinking about ways that he's challenged me over the years. And I used to have a problem with lateness where I would, just show up late to things sometimes. Or I would, like, sorry, someone just asked me if I was talking to them. And realized I need to tuck my hair behind my ears so that my headphones show and I don't look.
Let me guess, it was
crazy.
A dude.
Uh-huh.
What are the chances? Can't imagine. I guess the chances are 50-50, if you believe. They're not that low, but you know what I mean.
So anyway, so one time this guy just, like, I was late to a thing. Or I said that I'd meet him at a time, and I was, like, 20 minutes late. And he just kind of called me on my shit. And at the time, I was like, no, I had a thing, and... You know, like I was trying
to... This is an
to...
exception. This never happened.
Right. And then I realized, like, oh, I do kind of only do this to him because we have been friends for so long. And that's kind of shitty. You, like, reserve your shittiest behavior for the people who've been there for you the longest, who care about you the most.
Boy, so I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Like, I really want to check myself on that and, like, not do that to the people who care about me and who have, like, invested the most time in me. So that was nice. I mean, it made me like kind of a shitty, like I felt kind of like a teenager about it for a minute, but I don't know. What else has he done? He's done a few other things where he'll just like ask me really leading questions, or and this might give some insight, too much insight into my dating life, but there have been times in the past where I'm dating someone and he'll be like about to be introduced to them. And he'll be, one time he just said straight up, do I need to care about this one? And I was like, why? I was like, oh, why would you ask that? And I was like, oh, yeah,
You knew why
actually,
he would ask that.
yep.
That's
Checks
one of those
out.
things you know deep down that you don't want to admit.
Yep.
We all have
So
those
yeah,
things.
he's a friend who finds a way to very like kindly ask you that thing
Doesn't
that deep
sound like
down.
super kind, just in
Well,
that particular example. I mean, no disrespect to this very handsome Kramer. But yeah.
yeah, I think that he has done a good job of being like, hey, I've observed some things. What do you think about those things? Or he'll ask me like very like leading questions about those things, and it makes me think. Like every time I see him, he makes me think, and in a really like deep and new way about like what I'm doing with my life. And I really appreciate him for that. I think that he's not for everyone. I think
Yeah, no
some
one's for
people,
everyone, though.
yeah, some people don't like that. Some people don't like to be challenged, or they don't like to. They see it as only contest, and that's not always, or that's never his intention. He just kind of like genuinely gets curious about the way people think about things if it's a way that's different from him. So, yeah. Anyways,
Sounds like
do
a
you have
good friend to
anything?
have.
Yeah.
Do I have a tough? I actually don't think I do have a tough love friend, I would say.
Really? My
No.
sister's a tough love, too.
No, I'm trying to think. No, I don't think I do, really. I mean, I definitely have friends that I feel like the door is open, we can talk about anything. I wouldn't be like offended if they were to say, "Hey, you screwed up here," or "This thing you did was dumb."
Yeah.
But no, most of my friends, the times I have screwed up, it's like I'm the one that has to like initiate. I have to be like, "Look, I know, I screwed up, okay? So we
Yeah.
should talk about it." And they're like, "Oh, whatever, it's fine." It's like, "Well, no, I screwed up." But no, I don't think I have a tough love friend. I'm not sure I ever
Yeah.
really have, now that I think about it. I feel like I've been
Yeah.
that friend at times in my life where I was perhaps less tactful and less sensitive and less emotionally intelligent. For better or worse, I've been the friend that's like, "Hey, you keep doing this shitty behavior. I wonder why." And someone's like has a breakdown, and I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know you'd be upset by me saying that. I thought it was obvious."
Yeah.
That's the kind of dumb shit I've done in the past.
I do that a lot too. And I've also had friends who are good tough love friends about the ways that we treat ourselves. You know, I have some people in my life who will be like, hey, quit being so mean to yourself. Or they'll point out like what I'm going through. I'll start to get kind of down about my current situation, or like, God, I can't believe I let this deadline pass, or I whatever. And they'll just be like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you not just go through a breakup and move twice in 2 months and go through a lot of pain and hardship and maintain managing a design team at the same time? And I'll be like, yeah,
I guess it's
I guess
pretty
I did.
cool.
I guess I did just do all that stuff. But
Yeah.
yeah, so cut yourself some slack. You're doing the best you can.
Those are good friends to have.
Yeah, good perspective to keep on hand.
Where are you walking around?
I just walked down Harrison Street to 24th Street. 24th Street is one of my favorite streets in San Francisco. Got some good dive bars, some good taco joints, and now I'm walking up Valencia just to see how this has changed.
'Cause how
And
long you haven't lived in San Francisco for 2.5 years now? 2 years? What
it's
is it?
been almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in March.
Okay.
But I did live here for over 3 years, so.
Is there specific stuff you're like, oh, I'm going back to the city I used to live in, have to do X thing?
I think I just moved, or I came here this week just to get perspective. So it's kind of like I started to tell you and Hillary at brunch the other day that, like, now that I've gone through this breakup thing, people ask me, like, do you want to stay in New York? I'm like, what's your plan for the next however many years? Or what do you want to do with your life? I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I am in a situation, once again, where I have, like, agency over my whole situation once again. I don't have to consider anybody else while I figure out what I want. So I think I came out here intentionally to remove myself from the day-to-day, but to be in a place that's familiar enough that I can, like, still get work done. And
put your feet on a different ground, see how it feels.
Yeah, and I really just am out here to think and to get a little bored and a little lonely so that I start to approach those questions that I think are, like, really important to be tackling right now. And I know that's, like, maybe super deep or not so much for the podcast, but really I am like, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's so crazy how I just was totally into the idea of staying in New York and having babies and living in the burbs out there eventually. And now I'm like, oh, that's not my life. What is my life? And what's it going to be?
It sounds jarring.
Yeah, it is. But it's also exciting. And I think that if one is intentional about how they spend their time, they can kind of help to direct where the boat goes. I don't feel like I have complete and total control over my life, but I do think that I don't know, like, if I felt like I had an inkling to go to Amsterdam or something, that I could just kind of, like, set that in my mind and be like, all right, well, maybe let's make that happen in the next couple of years.
I don't know. I have those thoughts too. Sometimes, and oftentimes in dumb circumstances, the realization will hit me very with, like, perfect clarity, and I'll, like, remember again that we are how we spend our time. Like, the way you choose to spend your time is what your life amounts to, and
yes,
there's not this other, like, removed thing that you, like, are. It's like your true self, and it's trying to get out or whatever. It's just, whatever you do, it's what you become, right? Like, the dumbest one recently is we were watching the food documentary, Salt, Acid, Heat, Fat. Which, I don't think it's a great documentary. I can't actually recommend it. But, you know, it's got the typical thing every food documentary has these days, where they go to some cheese plant in Italy and talk to the cheese guy, who's, like, the guy that's been making cheese wheels for 50 years. And, I don't know, it's like, that guy's just... that's what he's done with his life. He's now the person that knows the most about making this kind of, like, cheese wheel. And there's other people that are similarly experienced, but, like, that's what he did for 35, 40 years. And so that's, like, what he is now. And then I, like, look at that and I'm like, I have spent nigh on 8 years now becoming the cheese guy of JavaScript and, like, writing emails to clients that will, like, not make them too mad, but will, like, break a hard truth to them. Like, those are the things that I'm spending every single day doing. And
exactly.
I know it's, like, a romantic notion to, like, want to be the cheese guy instead, but I don't know. It's like,
that's kind of where I'm at, where I think I give myself a lot of guff for really relaxing in the evenings, you know, or for, like, after work, not going and pursuing a passion project every night, instead being the person who's watching the documentary about the cheese guy. I'm like, what's my cheese thing? What am I doing? Who am I? But yeah, we are doing things in the daytime that hopefully align with those values. And I don't know. I think we just need to, like, stop pressuring ourselves so much. But it is, I don't know. It is a good practice to be thoughtful and intentional, and to realize what you just said, that, like, shit, life is happening right now. You know, even if I were to sit after this trip and write down in my planner, like, I want to create a community for underprivileged people to learn how to become designers. And I want that to be accessible. Like, that's the thing that's been on my mind a lot lately, like trying to figure out how to do that. But like talking about how to do that and thinking about how to do that are not doing that. So
yep.
How do I actually like put one foot in front of another and start to make this thing happen?
Yeah.
That's the thing that's hard to do.
It's a very tough balance for me to strike between being kind to myself and also that, like, because I know big picture, zoom out 6 years, 10 years, even 6 months, I will be happier if I do something that is, you know, in line with what I care about and like do something every day to point my life a little more down the direction of like what I want my life to amount to when all is said and done. But also it's hard. It's so difficult. It's like, like be responsibility is a drain. And at the end of the day, you just want to play Smash Brothers or whatever. But, but then that's, you know, one more night of that's what your life is. That's who you are, is Smash Brothers person, you know, and one more little like notch on the belt, one more little bead on the big life abacus, just, you know, under the played Smash Brothers for 2 hours column.
Yeah. So I guess if I had to sum it up, that's why I'm in San Francisco, is to hopefully set intention for next year.
And to eat a burrito.
Yeah, definitely gonna eat some tacos. Yeah. I did this before I moved to New York, actually. I came up here. No. I came out here and I came out to New York. So I was living in San Francisco at the time, went to New York, and I decided I wanted to move back. And I just like wrote it down in my little notebook I put it on my like 3 month plan to move to New York. And it's crazy putting down things like that when you live across the country, you know, you're like,
yeah, I've never done it.
You're like, how the fuck am I going to do that? But just having that right there at the page in my notebook that I would refer back to all the time, it was really helpful because you see it and you're reminded of it and you're like, oh, God damn it, I haven't thought about that this week. How am I going to do that? And then, the pieces just kind of come together. But it's just like writing that initial thing down that's so hard to do, but it takes 5 seconds. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out. What's my next thing?
Yeah, that's not to get too meta, but that's part of the reason why I like making podcasts, even when I make no money from them and not a ton of people listen to them. It's like I want that to be part of what my life is.
And yeah,
so I just keep doing it.
Totally.
Even though the world basically says like, meh, I just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh well.
It is nice. I do like listening back on these things.
I'm really glad to hear that you like listening back on them. I feel like if that is one of the biggest benefits of the show, then I'm happy with that. That's good.
Good. I'm not going to hang up yet because I wanted to hear about how your time in New York was overall.
Oh, and I mean, I feel like we talked about it a lot in person. I mean, New York was good. I felt the way I always feel when I'm in New York, which is that it's tiring. It's a lot. So much going on. Like, I think the best way to summarize how I feel about New York is, like, I love the subway. I love that it exists. I love public transportation. I will support anything that is anti-car and anti the idea that every person needs their own, you know, personal vehicle to drive places. But God damn, I just hate being on the subway. I hate it so much. Fuck, it's terrible. You stand in like a stinky, humid hole underground, and then some train pulls up, and you get smushed in there with a bunch of people. And I'm always self-conscious. I'm taking up too much space. I'm like trying to jam myself into the smallest physical and metaphorical space I possibly can. And, you know, it's just, I hate it. And that's how I feel about New York. That's the best way to describe it. Like, I love some things about it, and I also really don't like some things about it.
Yeah. I've only been in San Francisco for like 18 hours, but already I'm like, oh, I want to go back to where the weather's bad and it sucks outside. People are more angry.
You feel that already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I booked an earlier flight this morning because I was, like, homesick.
Aw.
Which is funny because I used to live here. But whatevs.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I'm going to Yosemite this weekend with an old friend from here. And it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to being out in nature a little bit more.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
I miss it.
But yeah, my trip to New York was hating subways, and then it was largely defined by talking about nice restaurants, which I am still just supremely uncomfortable with. Like,
hey, that's on you, man.
Part of what Hilly's dad really likes to do is like take pictures of everything and like meet the people that work there and post pictures on Facebook, and so like I get tagged in all these pictures, and I go to the gym Monday morning, and everyone's like, "Ooh la la, look, what fancy restaurants you were at!" And I just want to like
curl
up into a ball and die, and never, I don't know.
I just want to die.
Full of shame. Shut up, Linda. I know it's not a real problem. I know that, but I still feel
ironically
bad about it.
Don't feel bad. Ironically, tonight my plans with my friend were canceled because he was offered a seat at a table at French Laundry.
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll have a lovely time.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I would ditch me for French Laundry, too.
I would not ditch you for French Laundry. I think that person's wrong. But it will be a great meal.
Aw, thanks, Andy.
It's the nicest thing I've ever said to anybody. I would not ditch you for French Laundry.
Yeah, so fun to live in hypotheticals.
I'm sorry you've been homesick, Linda. It's not fun, but also I feel like it's an interesting way to remember what's important to you.
Yeah, that's good.
And maybe
that's
what's important to you is people having a grumpy look on their face in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And walking around the cold, windy streets of New York.
Yeah, I feel like Linda of the past and Linda of the future needed me to be here right now, and it's time for me to figure out why.
Beautiful thought.
All right, well, go
Can't
eat
top
soup
that.
Or whatever you're about to do.
I'm about to record another podcast.
Yes!
This is how my life
that
is,
one's
though.
Gonna suck.
This is what my life is. This is how I spend my time. All right.
It ain't bad.
Linda. All
right, well, have fun.
Have a lovely time in San Francisco. I can't wait to debrief on your time in Yosemite. You're the greatest.
You're the best.
All right.
Bye, Andy.
Bye.